out of Jeremiah. So we've got several books that we're going on. This is the only one we have about Job. Job, I don't normally think of poetry, but if you look at the way it's written, it is written where it bounces back and forth, if you will, between the different players, if you will, the different people that are involved. And everybody here knows who Job was, right? Okay. Everybody talks about the patience of Job. That's kind of an expression. But what I did is I went through and I looked at the book, because it is a discussion all the way through. The whole book is a discussion between individuals. And I said, okay, who's talking all the way through, and kind of in three words or less, hopefully, what are they talking about in each chapter? Because we're going to be looking at chapter 23. But you really kind of need the context of the book, right? So I kind of took a crack at that with this. On the left, there's two columns. On the left is the chapter. And the color, and I put the name, is who's talking. The first chapter, it's God and Satan. God's blue, Satan's red. What are they talking about in the first chapter? Do anybody remember? Huh? Yeah, well, he's talking about, he says, have you, you know, all these people you have, and he says, have you considered Job, my servant? And he said, well, you protect him. And God says, well, you can go ahead and you can take everything away, but you can't hurt him. That's the first chapter. The second chapter, he takes away his family, he takes away his riches, he takes away everything that he has, but he doesn't hurt Job, right? Second chapter, God allows him to hurt Job, but he can't kill him, right? That's the second chapter. I get to use a pointer. That's it right here. And his three buddies show up, okay? So they hear about all this that's happening to Job, and you would think they showed up to do what? Comfort him. Well, that's not really what they did. So Job laments. So they're listening to it. The fourth chapter is Eliphaz. He says, well, the innocent don't suffer. That's kind of a synopsis of what he's talking about. That's not comforting. And then he said, God is just. In other words, God wouldn't have done this to you unless you deserved it, right? Then Job says, hey, you guys, you're no help. That's kind of the synopsis of what he talks about in that chapter. And then at the particular point that Job's at, he says, life is futile. That was kind of interesting. Yeah, probably that door back there. Huh? Well, yeah, they just fell off one of the trusses. I don't know. Oh, Marion and Don? Oh, okay. Then we've got Bildad. Sounds like something out of The Hobbit, but it's one of his friends. And he says, God rewards the good. The impression there is, well, you must not have been good, otherwise you would have been rewarded. And Job goes in and basically has another, we break it up into chapters. Actually, the original writings doesn't have chapters, it doesn't have verses. But in this particular one, Job says, no bar arbitrated between God and man, and he despairs of God's dealings. In other words, I don't know why I've been dealt with this way. To which Zophar, the third friend, speaks up, and he rebukes Job, telling him, you deserved it. Then Job chides his accusers, in other words, his three friends that are sitting there, and he speaks of God's power. So then he goes back, he talks about, reflects on God. He says, whatever they say are ashes. And he's sure he's going to be vindicated. And then finally he talks about the finality of death. So he's got three chapters that he's got going on there. And then Eliphaz, he decides to speak up again. And he said, Job presumes much. So this is continuing to go back and forth between them. Job says, the friends provide no comfort. God shattered him. They were supposed to come comfort. Basically, he's saying, you guys, you're not helping me. He said, now I'm a byword. In other words, I'm a has-been. My life was at the pinnacle, and now I'm a has-been. It's at the bottom. It couldn't get any worse. Then Bildad speaks of the wicked. implying that Job must have done something wicked. Job, his friends insult him, everything is against him, his Redeemer lives. So he is still positive on God. Then Zophar picks up, the triumph of the wicked is short. Okay, implying to say, well, you had things great, but it was short because you must have been wicked. God will deal with the wicked. Then Eliphaz, the other friend, he accuses and exhorts Job. 23 is what we're going to talk about this morning, but he longs for God in this particular one. You kind of see where he longs for God, but there's a little bit more to it than that. And then God seems to ignore wrongs. Job's talking about, well, all these other people around here, they've done things wrong. God didn't do anything to them. And then we get to Bildad. Man is inferior. Man can't understand, but man just needs to know what he did. Then we have three chapters that Job goes through, and he rebukes Bildad, first of all, from what he said. He affirms that he's righteous. He's stated all along he's righteous. And then he says the search for wisdom is hard. Nobody can understand God, etc., etc. And we finally get into the last chapters. Job says his past is glorious and his current state is humiliating. Okay, it's horrible. It's terrible where he's at. And then he inserts his integrity, his uprightness. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm righteous. Then we have another friend that I really didn't pay much attention to is Elihu. And he kind of comes in and he goes on and he rails against Job for six chapters. And then God speaks up. And God at this particular point, he reproves Job. He also shows his mighty power, talks about his creation. He questions Job. In other words, he asks him, where were you for this? Where were you for that? His power is shown. Again, more about his power. Job, in 42, he retracts what he says. He repents. And then God says, okay, by the way, I don't like your friends. I don't like what they did. I don't like what they said. And he puts Job back with more than he had before it happened. So that's kind of the framework of Job. So we're going to look at 23. And this is the point where God has not talked to Job. So it's about midway through this particular one because there's, 42 chapters in the book of Job. Long book. So, who did Job and his friends believe was bringing the calamity down on Job? God. All of them did. Who was actually bringing the calamity on Job? Satan. Let's see. If you see somebody doing something wrong and you don't do anything about it, child abuse, then you're guilty of child abuse? You're guilty of child abuse. That logic I don't go along with. I don't say God did it. God said, this is my patience. It is, and it's where people go in and say, well, God allowed it, so God is the one who's punishing me. When it's Satan, it's who's punishing you.
No, I didn't say God's punishing you, but God might be using something bad to make it better.
Well, if he's doing it, but who was doing it to Job? It was Satan.
I know who
Satan. It was Satan. What was their perspective on being punished by God? What was Job's friend's perspective on being punished by God? Yeah. Yeah. You were being punished because you'd done something wrong. What was Job's perspective? Well, he didn't like it, but was his perspective different? Huh? There's a lot of emotions, but what was his perspective? God gives and God takes away. He accepted it. That's true. Still had the same thing. You're punished for doing something wrong. They all had the same perspective. The problem was, is his friend said, you must have done something wrong. And Job says, I didn't do anything wrong to deserve it. But they all had the same perspective. Does that perspective persist? Look what's here in John. Christ is going back. He's got the apostles with him. He says, as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that the man has sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. It displayed his might, but he did not punish Job. This particular one, but it was consistent. The perspective was consistent that if you're punished, you did something wrong. If you're not punished, you must have done something right. And that's not consistent with what's in the scriptures. So let's go into 23. Then Job replied, so this is one of Job's replies to his friends, quote, friends. Even today my complaint is rebellion. My hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. This is Job. And what does Job want from God? Gesundheit. An answer? Okay. What else? He hurts. Yeah, it's going to be viewed possibly like a rebellion. He wants an explanation, doesn't he? Yeah, he tries. Yeah, it's part of who Job is, right? He's a righteous man who trusts God. He just wants to know why. But how's he approaching it? Granted, he's lost his family, he's lost his fortune, he's lost his health. But how's he approaching it? He wants to present his case. Exactly. He wants to argue about it. How does Job want to petition God? It's going to be put what?
Well, he wants to go in front of God.
Yeah, he wants to go in front of God. He wants to argue. He wants to do it face to face. When you want to talk to somebody face to face, what does that mean? You're equal. Okay? He wants to know why this thing that God brought on him is not justified. But he wants to do it face-to-face. He wants to bring in front of him and argue it to him and have God defend himself for what he did. Anything wrong with that? That's true. If you put God on trial, you got to have a higher judge than God. He wants to stand in front of him and argue my case. If I don't argue my case, that's usually something you do in a courtroom. He wants to meet God on an equal basis. Nothing else is anything else equal to God in creation? Certainly not Job. Not the day before, yeah. So, I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. What's Job envisioning? Okay. Yeah. He's not going to just brush me aside.
Verse 7 says, the upright will reason with him.
Yeah.
Somebody more righteous than God, tell God, he needs to be righteous.
He needs to be righteous, and God's going to apologize to me and say what he did was wrong. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke you out and say you've done something wrong. But just, yeah, the five books. Yeah. No. No. Would he? Yeah, I'd have to look at that. It may be older than the Pentateuch. It may, I don't know. I don't think it is, but I don't know. Yeah, it might have. It was a different motive, and the way they approached God was different. First of all, Moses was talking to God, and God was talking to him. He didn't see him, but he could talk to him. This situation, Job has not talked to God. We don't know whether Job has ever talked to God, and God talked back. Yeah, right now, of course, Job is feeling like God's left me. He's nowhere. You would feel like that too. You know, Job doesn't understand what's going on, but he's made an assumption. And if, in perspective. Everybody's gone through life where they had a point where they said, why me? Why is God punishing me? And Job should say to you, it's not necessarily God punishing you. What? So what Job envisioning? He's in his mind going, this is going to how the whole discussion is going to go. Do you ever do that before you have a discussion with somebody? You've gone through it in your mind. You've already figured it. I've done this. I've gone through, and I knew I was going to have something that was going to be a difficult situation to discuss with somebody, and I've already envisioned how they're going to answer. And by the time I get through it in my mind, I'm mad. Okay? So this is kind of what Job's doing. Absolutely. And he's got his three friends that are helping him. Actually, four. The four people that are there with him. Yep. Just curse God and die. What does he think God would not do? Yeah. He didn't think he'd ignore him. He didn't think he'd use his mighty power to just dismiss him and any argument he might offer. Is Job capable of reasoning with God? Not really. No one can have an equal reasoning level at God. Depends on the kid. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him, which is what you were talking about, Wanda. This one, what does he believe his current relationship with his God is with God? Based on that. He didn't even think they're there. I'm thinking, when I read that, God's left him. Job's alone. Yeah, he is alone. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It's a statement of what he's done, too. That's a declaration to say, I've done everything right. Isn't it? What does Job believe God's view is of him? This is Job's perspective. Yeah? He's faithful, he's true, he's kept everything God asks of his children. Is that consistent with what God's view of Job is? It is. Why would he have offered him up to Satan if he didn't have that view?
He's also saying that he'll hold this through everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Job right? Yeah. He is right. That is how he has lived. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. What does he recognize about God? Yeah. Yeah. But he's unique. There's only one God. He does what he desires, which is what you said. And he has the power to back it up. He does what he wants, and he has the power to do it. Does Job accept what has befallen him? Somewhat. He wants an explanation of why he's being punished. He's not refuting the punishment. Did he said, you never should have done the boils on me. You never should have taken my away from my wife. He never said that. He says, why am I being punished? Isn't it? He never says anything about what the punishment is. Therefore, I would be dismayed at his presence. When I consider, I am terrified of him. It is God who has made my heart faint, and the Almighty who has dismayed me. But I am not silenced by the darkness, nor deep gloom which covers me. So this is the end of the chapter. What does he realize if he really comes face to face with God? Yeah, he's gonna say, what did I say here? He's gonna be terrified. He's calling for his day in court with God to argue with him. And when he really thinks about it, he says, I'm not too keen on that. That's God that I'm gonna be face to face with, arguing, saying, why are you punishing me? I didn't do anything wrong. Tell me what I did wrong. And that's the point. I've got another chapter up here that I pulled up. But that's the whole point of where there's a problem with Job in the way he's approaching it. It's not necessarily what he's asking, it's how he's asking it. Either Susan or Wanda referred to when Moses went and said to God, you don't want to destroy them, God, because it will look bad for you. They'll talk about you that way. Moses approached him to say, God, this is why you don't want to do this. But he didn't approach him the way Job is. Job is saying, God, you tell me what I did wrong. You come here and you explain it to me, and I'll argue my case. But you tell me what I did wrong, God, because I didn't do anything wrong. Presumptuous? Oh, his friends? friends. They're, yeah, they keep saying, but that contention between the two of them is to say, I didn't do anything wrong, and all his friends says, you did something wrong. It's the whole situation is happening so Job would curse God and die. That's the whole point. Does he change his mind, considering he's going to be terrified if he gets in front of God? He still wants, yeah, he says, I'm not sure I want to talk to him, but he doesn't appear to change his mind. He says he will not be silenced, I am not silenced by the darkness. He's going to keep talking. You know, kind of, it's not the same thing, but my sister loved to argue, and she'd get in an argument with my dad, and it'd be over, and they were bad. And as he's walking away, he says, I don't want to hear one more thing. And as he's walking away, she goes, one more thing. Just couldn't be silenced. So, if Job's coming that way towards God, how's God going to respond? Do you agree with me, God, that Job is approaching God, not to say, God, please, I really need to understand why all this affliction, or he's saying, God, tell me why I'm being punished because I didn't do anything wrong. Which way is Job approaching God? Right now, I want to know why you're doing this to me, isn't it? His approach on how he's approaching it. Granted, the man is had everything taken away from him except for his life. That's the only thing he is he's alive, but he's alive to suffer. That's the only reason he's alive is to suffer. Yep. Yep. So let's look at 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of his whirlwind and said, so this is the first answer that Job and his friends have gotten. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you will instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with the doors? When, bursting forth, it went out from the womb? When I made a cloud its garment and a thick darkness its swaddling band? And I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors? And I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop. Yeah, well, it's the seas. You know, he separated the water from the land and him like that. He put the bounds in him like that. He says, where were you? Since you've got all the answers, tell me how I did that. Tell me how you do that. God goes on for four chapters with this particular mindset back to Job. And it's poetry, you might be, because he talks about all the things that he's done. There's a little bit in the last chapter, which is 42, where Job says, yes, and he kind of says, I understand. I did wrong. And I repent. Does God ever really tell him that he's tried by Satan? No. He never tells him. But God basically says, who are you to question me? And he never says Satan did it. And Job repents, and Job becomes restored back to where he was. Never really understanding who did it and why. kind of lesson for us is stuff happens to us. And we don't know who did it. And we don't know why. And the danger there is, well, God did it and he's punishing me. It's where we kind of go, though, isn't it? If that's true, but when you have a situation, there are situations where God does discipline, just like a parent disciplines a child, right? The problem is it's hard to know which one is which. Which time is it God disciplining me to make me stronger? Because, or which one is it where Satan has now, he's done something to me. Or I've allowed him to get into my heart and do something, and I've done it to myself. And then when I get in the situation, it says, well, God, why'd you let this happen? He's like, that was your choice. You did this. But I think that's probably the most I can get out of the book of Job is presuming God is doing it to punish you is a terrible presumption. Does God ever do something just to be mean? No. Never does.
It's not a bad time for self-evaluation. I mean, like I said, Job looked at himself and says, I don't see what I did wrong.
Yep.
It is a time that I make choices to put myself in circumstances that brought this on.
And it's kind of a twisted way of thinking it, but Job put himself in this situation because of choices he made that were righteous. Yeah, no good deed goes unpunished. No, he did not see that. He never saw the whole picture. But that was an interesting part of Job's faith. Job never got the whole picture. If he did it, it's a lot easier said than done. But it's not always God who does it. Yeah, we make a lot of mistakes on our own without any help.
Mm-hmm. We as humans tend to try and think about God, think about all the things that happen in our human way of thinking, and in so doing, that tends to be a position of limiting God. And you can't limit is limitless, and there isn't anything that's outside the realm of his power. But we have consequences in everything we do, and it's harder for us in a daily walk to walk totally in that, that I have an all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing God looking over us. And we see things and it's woes me. And yet there may be a silver lining yet. We don't know that. We don't know the future.
Yeah, we don't we don't understand everything. It's a testimony to everyone's faith when they say, I don't understand why it's happening, but I'm staying faithful to God, which is what Job did.
Well, doesn't Jeremiah talk about fire and ask
Well, it talks about that, I think it's in Jeremiah, but Paul talks about it a lot too. Well, how do you make steel stronger? How do you make steel stronger?
If somebody doesn't want to sweat, you'll throw it in the water.
You heat it. You heat it. You hammer it. Okay? You beat it up. But it makes it stronger. You got to heat it. You got to put it in the fire, which is trials. The heat's trials. It's a... Well, the other part about it is, in the first part of the book of Job, Satan talks to God and he says, well, you put this hedge around him. You know, you've protected him. You've done everything for him. It doesn't say, but I don't think that's a good assumption. I think Job has had fire, trials, through his life. The God's rewarded him because of his faithfulness. But I'll bet that man did not stand up to this trial without first being strengthened in his faith by trials prior to Satan sifting him. If it had been a cakewalk for Job his whole life, and then lose my family, lose my home, lose my riches, lose my health, do you think he would have stood up to that if he hadn't had trials prior to that? Yeah.
The fact that he can make that statement shows that there's something in his life that makes him appreciate what he
has. He does appreciate what is, and he knows where the blessings came from. But I think he was tried before he ever got to this trial. And God knew Job. He knew Job's heart. He knew Job's faithfulness. Probably so, although he had his...
He still desired a real God, just the real God wasn't finished for him.
And he knew there was only one real God. And his faithful, all that had happened with Job was his faith got stronger and stronger and stronger. And in some of the other chapters you see where Job says, hey, if God wants to just take my life, just take my life. But he never, I don't think he ever gets close to cursing God. He just wants to know why he's being punished. Comments? Hard to do something with 23 verses. Huh? Oh, yeah. If he'd done that, or he'd let Satan just kill him, it would have been over. But then you wouldn't have had a man who could show his faith. He never understood it, but his faith didn't waver. At the end, he says, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I challenged you. He never knew why, but he said, you're God. You can do whatever you want. Does God do anything that is not for our benefit? That's true. But he never does anything that's not for our benefit. Everything he does is for our benefit. That's a better way to say it. I did a double negative there, and I went, that's not right. Everything he does is for our benefit. Even if it's perceived by us and or is painful, it's for our benefit.
Even if you're suffering,
it might not be about you. It might be about somebody else. It might be. So you have sympathy or empathy for someone who's going through the same situation. Well, no other comments. Thank you. I'm done. Yep, I'm done.